You may remember the fairy tale story about King Midas. You'll recall that this king was granted one wish, that he could get anything he wanted. And the one thing that he asked for was for the golden touch, what is sometimes referred to as the Midas touch, so that everything that he touched would turn into gold. And so he was excited about it, and he was so happy he began touching his books and his bookshelves and his table, and everything turned to gold. And he was so excited because he saw himself as the wealthiest person in the world. And so, you know, when you're young and you hear this story, you'd think in the beginning, wow, that'd be cool, right? That'd be cool to have that gift. And I remember when I was little in elementary school and hearing this story, I was like, man, that would be awesome. I would touch our house, ding, and it'd be gold. I would touch our car, ding, and I would definitely touch my sister, ding, you know, and all these things, right? But you might also remember that later on in the story, this blessing, which he thought was a blessing, turned into a curse. As suddenly he would pick up his chicken that he wants to eat, but then it turned to gold. And then he would pick up this food, and that would turn to gold. And he would touch his relatives, and they would turn to gold. And ultimately, he would even touch his daughter, and she turned to gold. And one of the lessons of this story is against greed, or the desire for material blessings. But let's change around the scenario a little bit. Instead of gold, what if I were to tell you that there was a way for you to touch something and for that to be spiritually blessed? Or let's say, for example, I don't know, this blanket that happens to be on this podium, right? That just happens to be here today. I don't know. Let's say, hypothetically, what if this was a blessing blanket, you know, where everything that you cover would be spiritually blessed by God, okay? Like literally. So what would you cover? For me, I mean, I would definitely cover this altar or this podium so that this would be blessed by God. What else would you cover, right? I mean, I think I would cover the praise team, right? I definitely would want to cover Herman's face, right? That's for it to be blessed by God, right, with greater blessings. But really, the question would be, if this really had some sort of mystical power to bring forth blessing, spiritual blessing, the real question would be, what wouldn't we cover, right? If this really could pass on spiritual blessings to everything, then we would really want to cover everything with these blessings and prayer. But also, if someone had that type of blanket to bless and did nothing with it, that person just stored that blanket away in the closet, never used it, how would you view that person? Foolish, right? A waste. How could you not? You had it in your ability to bring forth blessing, and you didn't, right? Now, before you get too worried that this might be like a prosperity gospel message, do not worry. That's not the direction I'm heading in today. But what I do want to reveal to you today is that there is a biblical perspective on prayer that we need to understand. And when we understand this, it can radically revolutionize the way we view prayer. You see, prayer is not something where we say something to God or we lift up requests to God and hopefully at the end of the prayer or after some hours or years or moments, something will happen. That's not prayer. As you pray, the process of praying releases something to happen in the spiritual realm. Prayer brings forth a change in the spiritual dimension. It is not saying something, God, and hoping something happens. It is through prayer things begin to happen. Something happens in the process of praying, not just at the end of it. And this past year, last year, as I was meditating on various verses, one verse in particular really hit me like a truck. And that is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21. You can open up your Bibles to that, but also I provided that verse for you in your outlines. It says something very shocking about prayer and about leaders who do not pray. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21 together. Ready, begin. For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. Did you know this was in the Bible? This is not usually the verse that you memorize in Sunday school, which I think actually maybe we should. What a strange verse. Look at that. It says, for the shepherds are stupid. Did you know that word was in the Bible? And they do not inquire of the Lord. Now, he doesn't say, and the shepherds were unspiritual for not praying. He doesn't say, and the shepherds were lazy for not praying. He says, and the shepherds were stupid for not praying. He calls them stupid. Now, I normally don't, share the original Greek or Hebrew because, you know, I don't think unless you're in an academic setting that really holds much weight. But I did want to share with you the significance of this word. The Hebrew word that they're using for here is called, it is Bahar. Okay, so everybody say Bahar. And this translated means stupid. That's really what it means. But it also holds some other definitions. And another way to define this word is dull or unreceptive. And another definition of this is someone that is not responsive when a response is expected or required. Meaning, let's say you walk up to someone named Joe, and you say, hey, Joe, Happy New Year. And Joe stands there, and he just stares. Hey, Joe, Happy New Year. And he just stares. You would think something's wrong, because he is not responding in a way that you expect to be a normal response, a logical response. So that's what this text is referring to, that this text is revealing that prayer should be a normal, a logical, and a correct response to life. And we will expand on this in a moment. So he says, shepherds are stupid and they do not inquire of the Lord. So smart people pray, but the foolish person does not. Smart people will pray because they understand its spiritual significance and power. It is the foolish person that will not pray. So Jeremiah 10:21, again, it says, it reveals. It says, the shepherds are stupid, they do not inquire of the Lord, therefore they have not prospered. Okay, so it reveals that there is a direct correlation between praying and prosperity in the spiritual realm in the eyes of God. Now, I know you're thinking, Eddie, you said this wasn't a prosperity gospel sermon. You have that word, but let me explain that word for you. The word used for prosperity here is sakal. And what that means, it has absolutely nothing to do with money. Absolutely nothing to do with financial gain or material gain. What this word for prosperity means is wise understanding and insights. So people who pray gain wise understanding and insights, and because they know that God is the source of wisdom and insights, the wise person will continue to pray and continue to grow more wise as a result. So smart people seek the Lord, they inquire of God, fools do not. Therefore, verse 21 says, they have not prospered. The fool has not prospered, and their flock is scattered, meaning the Israelites, they are in exile. They are suffering the consequences of their spiritual leadership's unfaithfulness to prayer. Prayerlessness is foolishness in the eyes of God, because we are forfeiting the blessings that would be ours if we prayed. You see, one way we can look at prayer is this. Prayers are layers of blessings for things prayed for and for the people praying. This perspective can really revolutionize your understanding of prayer and your capacity for prayer. Prayers are layers of blessings for things prayed for. So what, in essence, it is saying is that there are blessings that come when you pray. Okay? And so as you pray, it is not just simply something to happen after you pray. The process of praying releases a layer of spiritual blessing. And we want to look at what those blessings are today. So follow along with me in your outline as we explore some of the blessings of prayer and the logic, the extreme logic of praying versus not praying. So the first blessing that we see that we will examine today is that when we pray, there is the blessing of the presence of God. So everybody repeat, the presence of God. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read that together. Ready, begin. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? The NIV says this, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray? God Almighty draws near when people pray. Exodus 34:29 says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone. Why? Because he had been what? Talking with God. The face of Moses was radiating because he was in prayer with God. There is something about prayer that takes us into his presence in a special and unique way. Yes, God is omnipresent. Yes, God's presence is everywhere, but his anointed presence rests in a special way upon those who pray. And the longer we dwell in that sacred anointed presence, talking with him, communing with him, the more of his presence rests upon that life. There is a sweet spiritual atmosphere in places that pray. I still remember the first time I went to a 24-hour prayer house in Korea, back when I used to serve at a university in Korea many years ago. And the first time I entered there, it was a very, on the outside, old, broken down, nothing to look forward to. Get inside, really small. Get to the basement area where the 24-hour prayer room is super small, but there are deacons, elders, and all these people who rotate there 24/7. It's the first time I entered a place like that. And even though on the outside, visibly, it wasn't much to look at, once I went inside that room, I felt like I was at home. There was a sweet, sweet, thick fragrance and presence of God there. And I felt right at home. And to the point where the team that I went with, we even enjoyed sleeping there because there was such a peace of God that rested, that was filling that place. Also, back when I was in university, I would go to different conferences for our, you know, with our praise ministry and for preaching, all these things like that. And there was a difference. We would go to all these different retreats and camps and conferences. And there were a couple of conferences within my years during undergrad that we went to that they told us afterwards that they had been in prayer for that conference every day for a year before we came. And I can testify the presence of God and the power of the Spirit showed up in those conferences that blew our minds away compared to any other place that we went to. There is something different that happens when people devote their lives in prayer. It is the sacred presence of God that rests upon people who pray. And also I've gone inside people's homes who spend hours on end in prayer, and I feel right at home. Because when you learn to make the presence of God your home, and other people also learn to make the presence of God their home, when you come together, you are home. Because you are both before the presence of God. And my challenge to you this year is to turn your home, your workplace, your offices into sacred places where the presence of God rests heavily. Pray through your homes, your rooms, and invite the presence of God there. Amen? Because prayers put layers of blessings upon things prayed for. And one of the great blessings is the presence of God. So you see, when you are praying for your loved ones, you are blessing them with the presence of God in their lives. Because prayer draws near the anointed presence of God so that one of the greatest blessings that you could ever do for someone is to pray for them. Because that will draw near the presence of God closer to their lives. And the greatest blessing we receive in praying is God. He draws near those who pray. And the great blessing of prayer is God and intimacy with God. And for the people of God, and especially spiritual leaders, the first thing we must seek after every day in our lives is God through prayer. That is why Scripture keeps commanding us to devote our lives to prayer. And when the church was first established in the early days in Acts, and there were many, many ministries to do, they chose Spirit-filled praying deacons to their role. Why? So that the ministers of the gospel can be more devoted to prayer and the word. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 reveals this. Therefore, brothers, pick out from amongst you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty of serving and feeding the poor and caring for widows. Again, doing the work and the ministry of the church. But verse 4 says this, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the number one role of the minister is to devote that person's life to prayer and the word of God. And the first place I must minister every day of my life is before the presence of God. And so our role and goal for this new year should be to grow in intimacy with God, to get to know Him more through prayer, because that is ultimately what prayer is. It is keeping company with God. It is working and developing on your friendship with God. Have you ever asked God how He is doing? Did you ever ask God, God, what do you want me to pray about? Instead of asking for stuff, have you ever asked Him for more of Him? These are some questions that I'd love for you to ask yourself this year during your devotional time. And I do ask myself this, you know, as I spend time in prayer, I ask myself these questions. Ask yourself these questions. How is my friendship with Jesus? Is it intimate? Am I enjoying it? Am I growing in this relationship? Another thing I ask, have I truly met with God today? Or did I just rush through it? Did I rush in, rush out? Did I just do stuff just to mark things off, check things off my list? Did I truly meet with God today? And then I make it a point to ask God, God, how are you doing today? What's on your heart? What do you want me to pray about? What do you want prayers for? More than anointing or gifts, God, I want more of Jesus today. These are the questions that we need to ask, to check, to make sure our prayer time is developing our friendship with God. And it's not just something to mark off that we've done. Spiritual maturity is seen and grows when the child of God desires His presence more than wanting to get another presence from God. It's when we discover that God is the gift, God is the prize, that to be in His presence is the greatest presence of all. That we would declare honestly from our hearts, knowing You, Jesus, knowing You, there is no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love You, Lord. Wouldn't it be great for us to have that type of intimate relationship with Jesus every day of our lives. Amen. You know, there's a pastor that I heard. He was meeting with his friend at a restaurant, and they haven't seen each other for a while, and they wanted to catch up. And the friend was very gifted in intercessory prayer. He could spend hours on end in prayer, and he was gifted in many other spiritual gifts. And as they were having their meeting, the pastor noticed that his friend seemed very distracted, very agitated. And so the waitress would come, and you know, he'd kind of rub his neck and also rub his chest, and he'd give the order, and then the waitress would leave, and then he would look around the restaurant, looking at different parts of the restaurant, and then he would stop and focus on an area, okay. And then the waitress would come back with the food, and then finally, after all this distraction and agitation, the pastor asked, is everything okay? And his friend responded, if you don't mind, can we move to that section over there? I think there's a different waiter over there. I really don't want to be in this section right now. The pastor said, why? What's wrong? You seem so distracted and agitated today. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to catch up with you. We haven't met for so long. I really wanted sweet fellowship with you. And the pastor, that's fine. Let's just eat this meal. He's like, no, you know what? Our waitress, every time she comes over, God is telling me about the pain in her neck area. There's chest pain. She has some lungs. And also there's deep burdens in her heart because she just had a really bad breakup with her boyfriend. And it's like, I don't know. And so the pastor's like, well, maybe God's telling you that so you could pray for her and you could heal her. No, I don't think that's it, because I've been in this situation before, and I know it's going to happen. I'm going to pray over her. She's going to start crying. God's going to heal her. She's going to scream. And then the people behind us right now, that guy too, he has a bad ankle. And also that guy, and he started naming all these things. This guy has a heart problem. This guy has a neck problem. This guy has that problem. This guy has... And if I start healing her, then he's going to want prayer. And if I heal him, then they're going to all want prayer. So can we just go to that section over there? That waiter, I don't sense anything from that waiter. So let's just go to that section. And the pastor was, you know, almost wanting to rebuke him. He's like, hey, God's telling you all this stuff? That must mean he wants to use you to heal people. I mean, use the gift God has given you. And when he kind of impressed him along the lines, his friend replied, hey, brother, pastor, friend, you know, I'm sorry, God tells me this stuff all the time. That's what friends do. Friends tell each other stuff. And when I commune with God, he tells me stuff all the time. And the pastor was so humbled by that, because he realized that more than wanting gifts of God, more than wanting to be used by God, his friend's desire was intimacy with God. His desire was to draw closer to God. Oh, to have that kind of intimacy. Prayers put layers of blessings on things prayed for. Therefore, cover your loved ones, cover this ministry, cover this world and the nations with prayers, with the blessing of His presence. Bring the presence of God closer through prayer. Amen. A second layer of blessing that we bestow upon the things that we pray for would be not only the presence of God, but also the power of God. So everybody repeat, the power of God. James chapter 5, verse 13 and following says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So are you suffering? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise, meaning sing songs of prayer. Verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has what? Great power. As it is working. Now, of course, the source of our righteousness, the prayer of a righteous person has great power. But the source of our righteousness does not come from our own works. It is not from ourselves. The source of our righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. As we trust in His saving work on the cross, we become beneficiaries to His promises and blessings from the cross of Christ. And Scripture makes it clear that those who have faith in God will experience the power of God through prayer. James 5:17 continues, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruits. He is showing that the power is not in ourselves. The power comes from God. And we tap into that power through prayer. Power is released through faith-filled prayers. Healing comes through prayer. Deliverance comes through prayer. E.M. Bounds, in his excellent book called The Power of Prayer, once said this, "What the church needs today is not new organizations or novel methods, but men and women of God whom the Holy Spirit can use, men and women of prayer. Men and women mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men and women. He does not come upon machinery, but men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men and women of prayer. There is a direct correlation with the power of God in our lives and time spent in His presence through prayer. Much time in prayer is the secret to seeing God's power in our lives." E.M. Bounds also says this, "Prayer, which is felt as a mighty force, is the immediate product of much time spent with God. Intimacy with God is not attained by quick visits. God does not give His most sacred gifts of power and anointing upon those who show up briefly or casually in His presence. Much time with God alone is the secret of knowing Him and of knowing His power in our lives." E.M. Bounds continues, "He bestows His richest gifts on those who declare their desire for and appreciation of those gifts by the constancy as well as earnestness of their seeking of Him. Christ spent whole nights in prayer. Do you ever get sleepless nights? Turn those into all-night prayer gatherings for your soul." Amen. Paul prayed day and night. Daniel and Psalmist prayed 3 times a day. And the people who have reflected Christ the most and have had the greatest impact upon this world were men and women of prayer. Charles Simeon devoted 4 hours, 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning, to God in prayer. John Wesley spent the first 2 hours of his day in prayer. Martin Luther said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer in the morning, the devil has won the victory for me throughout the day. That is why, though I have much to do, I cannot get on with my business without spending 3 hours daily in prayer." These were all men of God that God had used powerfully to impact nations and cities. These were all men of God who understood that prayers put layers of blessings upon the things prayed for. They knew God intimately because they spent time with Him often. As a result, the blessing of His presence and His power rested heavily upon their lives, and their impact and influence is still being felt in our day, hundreds of years later. We should pray for more of God's power to be released in and through us. And I want to invite you to join me in the prayers that I've been praying for OEM, in pleading for a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit to overcome us, like in the book of Acts, so that the nations might be healed through this church. Amen? Ask for that together. Ask God for the mighty rushing waters of revival that come through His Spirit. Plead for it until it comes. I am praying for more hunger in our ministry, more hunger for the Lord. Because those who hunger for more gain more. If you are full and satisfied and do not hunger, you do not attain more. Because you feel you have attained all that is necessary. But I want hungry people in this ministry. I want people who will hunger and thirst for more of God. Amen? You see, power that is revealed throughout Scripture, like in the book of Acts, will only come through prayer. With an increase of money, places can be taken, but with an increase of prayer, places can be shaken. Prayers put layers of blessings upon things prayed for. Therefore, let us cover this ministry in prayer and prepare it to receive the power of God in our lives. Amen? A third layer of blessings that come through prayer is having our lives match up with the purposes of God. So everybody repeat, the purposes of God. It is through prayer that we are able to conform our will to the will of God through prayer. It is learning to pray like Jesus prayed. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Let's read that together, shall we? Ready, begin. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." It is through prayer that we are able to surrender our own selfish plans and exchange them for better plans from God. You see, it is in the context and place of prayer that we can surrender our cold, stubborn hearts to be soaked in the presence of God, to be softened to His will, so that we would begin doing His will rather than our own. And it is through prayer that things become clearer. Wisdom and a revelation are given in the place of prayer so that we might know and do His will. I've learned the hard way that I must pray, otherwise I make stupid mistakes and lack God's wisdom, that I realize the right choices that should have been made after soaking those things in prayer. And we must encourage others to pray as well so that they too would gain a heart of wisdom. There's another pastor who shared about his ministry was being bombarded with people coming to him for counseling. And so he would have long lines of people outside of his office, and his office was right next to the sanctuary, and they had another small room that they had for prayer, and he would have people wait in the prayer room. But the thing is he was praying about it. I said, "God, this," you know, he had a similar moment like Moses, like, "God, this is too much for me. What should I do?" God told him something in prayer. He said, "Have everybody who wants to see you wait in the prayer room for 2 hours to pray before they see you." And needless to say, and so that's what he did. So whenever people would sign up to see him for a counseling session, he says, "Okay, just stay in prayer in this prayer room and then I'll see you." And so there would still be long lines of people. There'd still be a long waiting list of people. But after 2 hours, these people wouldn't see him anymore. And it's not because they were like, "Oh, I don't want to pray for 2 hours." It was because after they would soak their problems in prayer, God would speak to them and give them the right course to take. So people kept coming, but they would come now to pray and seek God. And he realized these people, they initially wanted to vent their problems and frustration at him. They needed to get it out of their system. But he also realized that when he redirected their anguish and anxiety to vent to God first, there was far greater wisdom that was imparted to his church people. And so he was teaching them to pray and seek the wisdom of God. And they would all say, "God gave me the right word, and that's why I didn't need to see you afterwards." Prayers put layers of blessings upon things prayed for, including our own minds. Creativity is enhanced, inspiration is given, ideas are matured. And a great blessing of praying through ideas and brainstorming with God is that our hearts get aligned to the will of God. God gives wisdom through prayer to accomplish His will. It is praying, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, in the Lord's Prayer. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Eugene Peterson once said this, "Prayer in its maturity is entering into what God is doing." He's saying when we are young and immature in our faith, prayer is all about us. "God, here's my list. Give me this. Give me, give me, give me. It's all about me. The end. See you, God." That is the infantile stages of prayer. But he says, as we mature, we realize that our desire becomes more and more important. "God, I need your direction. I need your will. I need to soak this in your presence. I need to soak this idea, these people, these possibilities in prayer, because God, my choice is foolish, but with your wisdom, we will succeed." And so we understand it is vital. It is life and death. God, I need to soak this with your presence. I need to soak this in prayer. I need your direction. I need your word. I need your guidance. I need to be in line with your will. And more you realize that is life and death. I do not want to waste my life. I do not want to waste these choices. I do not want to pick the wrong choices in my flesh that will make me suffer consequences. God, I need your direction. I need your will. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. And we need to bathe these things in prayer. Amen. So may we grow in our prayers to desire more than our will. Our ultimate seeking is not, God, do what I want. Say, God, I need your will. I want to be in line with your will. I want to do your heart's desire. And it is in prayer we learn to align our purposes with the purposes of God. And as a practical bit of advice, I would encourage everyone here to keep a prayer list if you do not do so already. Do not rely on your memory. Trust me and trust our pastoral staff as you get older. Your memory will fail you. And I just want to share with you, this is the prayer book that I've been keeping for over about 10 years now. And it's been through different versions. But the people and the items, the ministries that get in this book, they get prayed for every day. OEM has been, and interestingly enough, OEM and Pastor Ha has been in this years before I ever came to this ministry, because I was so impressed with what Pastor Ha and his vision was for the world and for missions. And so you keep a list and you pray through it faithfully every day so that you do not forget the important things that God is calling you to pray for. And of course, as you get older, as you'll realize, the list will get longer, but that is how the relationship should grow. Our prayers should grow and mature as we spend more time in his presence. And the cool thing about keeping track of your prayer requests in this way, as God answers them, because I always put the date that I started praying for something and the date that God answered it. As God answers them, suddenly this list of requests become a list of testimonies of how God is faithful in answering prayers. Amen? So I want to encourage you guys to do that this year. Just as each person God has made is unique, so each person's relationship to him is unique. And with that, God has given each Christian a certain number of things to pray for. Therefore, it is important for you to keep a list and be faithful to it. And just as there are no two Christians who are exactly alike, so no two people have the exact same list of things that God requires us to pray for. That is why we must keep track of the many things that God is calling you to pray for. So these are the blessings that come through time spent in prayer. These are the layers of blessings that we put over the people and places we pray for. So when we pray, we're putting a layer of God's presence over the people and the things we pray for. So when you pray for OEM, what you are doing is you are inviting the presence of God. You are blessing it with the presence of God. When we pray, we are covering things with the blessing of the power of God. When we pray, we are bringing forth the purposes and the will of God. So put layers of blessings on things prayed for. And so if you make the logical connections here, there is only blessing, only benefits, and only gain that come through praying. And you miss out on blessings when you don't cover them in prayer. Now do you see why God calls prayerlessness foolishness? Because you are missing out on blessings that could have been there if you prayed. Now do you see why Jeremiah 10:21 is in the Bible? For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. They are not layering up blessings because they are not praying. The shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered. They have not gained spiritually. They have not gained wisdom and insight spiritually. They're not in line with the will of God because they are not praying. And all their flock is scattered. And so when you understand the blessing of prayer and know why, you understand why the great saints of old prayed for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day. You understand that it's not about legalism. It is about life. You understand that the blessings that come upon my life and the things that I pray for are so significantly substantial and eternal. You now understand why people devote their lives to prayer and layer things hour on end so that the blessings build up in our lives. It is no longer a matter of legalism. It becomes a matter of life for the believer. Then you understand, I must pray. I must seek His face. I must dwell in His presence in order to gain more of Him and the favor of God over my family, my loved ones, this ministry. Because blessings are at stake. There are only benefits that await. There are only benefits that await those who pray. So as you pray, and there is the layer of the presence of God, you pray more. And as you pray, you also pray in the power of God. You put layer upon layer of prayers over those things. And you keep praying and you praying the will of God to be conformed, for our will to be conformed to the will of God. And you pray and suddenly the power of God, the presence of God, and the purposes of God fill up the lives and the people and the places that are prayed for. There is only gain, only benefits, only blessings as you pray. And the more you pray, the more blessings you will shower upon your life and upon your loved ones and upon the nations. Amen? That is why, again, it is not a legalistic thing. We must pray because we have to. By praying, the spiritual realm is impacted and blessings are released. Therefore, men and women of God, brothers and sisters, commit your days, hours upon it. Set aside hours. And if you have problems praying, just a minute. Okay, set aside 1 hour. And don't rush in and out. Relax, rest, dwell in the presence of God. Go through your list. Soak people in prayer. Soak nations in prayer. Soak this ministry in prayer. Soak your pastors in prayer. And you will experience blessings from above as well. Amen. So let us commit this year to be a mighty year of prayer. I have been praying that God will raise up mighty intercessors, people who love His presence. Join me in those prayers and join me in the presence of God on our knees before His throne. Let's pray.